Coming up in the Panel Scanners podcast, every superhero is getting either a movie or a television show, even Matter Eater Lad. Johnny has a super sweet review of something. No, you don't. Phil has a super sweet review of Days of Futures Past and all your favorites in Stick, Stuck, Pick, Sayonara. It's the Panel Scanners episode 21, and it's happening now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Panel Scanners, where we're talking about today's hottest topic, comic books. I'm your host, Johnny Capps. With me, as always, is Darren. Party on, Darren.
With all this power. With all this power.
He has no power. And everyone's favorite anthropomorphized chimp, Phil. Hi, Phil.
Chimp now?
And we are talking about comic books.
Shameful.
Hey, no, everyone loves animal sidekicks.
I will be making plenty fun of you later. You realize
this, right? I'm aware of this. All right. We are talking about comic books. I have the DC end of comic books. DC's September event, Future's End, which launches all 52 of their titles 5 years into the future.
Didn't they just have
Zip it. Zip it. And this following the pattern of the successful 2013 Villains Month event, each of the titles will be released with a 3D cover for $3.99.
Is that really
now
2013?
This event started, it was in 2013, wow. Just last year. Now this event started actually on Free Comic Book Day with their Free Comic Book release of Future's End.
I read that.
It was actually fairly decent, which introduced your boy Batman Beyond into the primary universe. It was actually pretty cool. Mr. Terrific was revealed as inventing the Brother Eye system and destroying the world, basically.
Did you notice, like, if... I'm sorry, Johnny, I'm so sorry.
No, please, please.
DC's, every time they launch into the future, I mean, it's the worst possible future you can imagine. It is apocalyptic to the nth degree. Because I saw the Free Comic Book Day one, and all the heroes were androids.
Yeah.
Like hunter-killer androids. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, they didn't have a whole lot of faith
hell
in
happened?
Their heroes.
Nope. Because in every instance, the superheroes fail.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's standard in comics, though.
Well, Booster Gold warned everybody way back when that Superman and Wonder Woman could not kiss. And if they kissed, the whole world would explode. Well, they kissed. And it looks like the whole world's going to explode. So this is all Booster Gold's fault. All right, so anyway, big names take over the long-floundering Action Comics. Jeff Johns and John Romita Jr.
Thieves.
The artwork has been amazing. The story has been... It's Jeff Johns.
Oh, sorry, did it already launch? I must say, I haven't picked it up yet.
It's coming out soon. And I've just been... This is just me...
Listen, back in the early 2000s,
Jeff,
I mean...
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I'm not a professed Marvel guy, but I read Marvel comics all the time. Mm-hmm. And I read his Spider-Man run like it was my job. I loved it. It was so great.
Well, Jeff Johns is just overbooked right now. He's the chief of DC's creative department.
Yeah, I was referring to Romita, but I think you're right about that.
Oh, John Romita is amazing.
Yeah.
JRJR is incredible. All right, so moving on. Jimmy Palmieri states that the upcoming series... Star Spangled War stories will, quote, sell out in the first week, end quote, despite the lack of success in the past four DC war-based comics.
And
the Star Spangled War stories actually features a character that he created as a joke called G.I. Zombie.
Haven't we been down this road with All-Star Western, which just got canceled? Like, this isn't 1945.
Guess who was the writer of All-Star Western?
Jimmy Palmiotti.
There we go. And Justin Gray. Yep. The two people who are doing Star Spangled War stories. And this, I mean, okay. G.I. Zombie. Great. So he can fight in multiple wars, which was basically what
is he trying to
Palmiotti wanted to do.
Generate a self-fulfilling prophecy?
It's just silliness. I'll be picking up the first one because I pick up every DC first one. But
are you starting to feel like I do? And you're reading the books. I'm not anymore. I'm reading a couple of them. That DC's starting to get to panic mode. I don't know. That's what it feels like to me.
I think the whole launch of the New 52 was panic mode. our world is imploding. We got to start over. Kaboom. Flashpoint.
I guess I had thought the industry wasn't that bad off. I mean, not where we had to do a total.
It was.
Okay.
It was.
What do I know?
Sales were floundering. The movies.
Sales were at an all-time high. And they were just.
They were post New 52. Prior to New 52, they were steadily declining. Anyway, Grant Morrison's Multiversity event is finally confirmed, with a pattern similar to Seven Soldiers event some years ago, which is four miniseries bookended by a pair of one-shots. You know, one-shot, four series, one-shot. And apparently this will take each series will follow an alternate Earth. We've got Vampire Earth. We've got... It's Grant Morrison, dude. Come on.
I like him.
I love Grant Morrison. Anybody who read the New 52 Action Comics originally.
Oh, that's a good point. That is a very good point. Well played, sir.
I love that. It's like a bad joke on Superman.
It really was.
It's hilarious. And I love it. It's my favorite guilty pleasure.
From a financial standpoint. But was it not two podcasts ago you wrote an editorial that you read that defended it for financial reasons? So are you now...
The relaunch of the New 52?
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely will defend it, always.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a great move for the industry and for DC Comics. I absolutely believe in the New 52, and that's still steadily what I am reading, because I believe that it still has some of the best titles in the industry. However, they need structure, and I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
I won't.
All right. But that's what I got for now. So, Darren, what you got?
One-time Superman, Dean Cain, who comic book fans and super fans will recognize as the Lois.
Yeah,
Lois and Clark. Well, this is, I think it ran four seasons. It was a fun show for a little while there.
My sister watched it.
Criticized Man of Steel for its lack of romance and violence and comedy. Yeah, I mean, that's another element that you just didn't have in that movie was any sense of humor whatsoever.
Hold on just a moment. You said lack of romance and violence.
I did. You're right. I meant to say comedy. Thank you.
Correct.
Criticized Man of Steel for violence and lack of romance. Thank you. And comedy. And, that's one of the things. If you go back to the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, there are some very funny moments in that movie. And they're organically funny, too. They're not forced jokes. That was, and I was so caught up in how overly violent the Superman movie was that I had actually forgotten that there was no level of humor to that movie at all. There wasn't any moment of levity at all in a Superman movie. In a superhero movie, there's just nothing. And we'll get to this in our conversation here in a few minutes. R.I.P. Bob Hoskins, Roger Rabbit. He's a British actor you will have recognized. I think most people will recognize him from Roger Rabbit. He's been around. Dick Ayers, an original Marvel artist, passed away at 90. Star Wars officially announces the cast for Episode 7. That shocked no one. But this is a little bit of old news, but here again we're talking about rebooting a canon. Dark Horse has spent 23 years with its Star Wars license, and it actually resurrected Star Wars prior to the prequels and the re-releases of the movies back in the mid to late 90s, and really nurtured the Star Wars property for a good long while, giving us the first original Star Wars stories that we had since childhood, since the end of the Return of the Jedi.
Let me ask you something real quick.
Go ahead.
Dark Horse Comics got this license from Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel originally had it.
And Marvel now has it again.
Marvel takes over in 2015.
That seems kind of shady. Like, here, we'll let you borrow it, put out all these amazing stories, and we're just going
to
take it.
Well, this is prior to them all being under the Disney umbrella.
Right.
Marvel,
I
have Star Wars number one from Marvel Comics sitting right over there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's just an adaptation of the Star Wars movie, the first Star Wars movie.
I wish they would say it Dark Horse.
I'm reading two of their Star Wars titles right now that are in my... Stuck Pick Sayonara, and they're both fantastic. I've got a whole file box of Star Wars Dark Horse comics that I enjoyed. Yeah, this is to no fault of their own. Disney's now they own Star Wars and all the Marvel stuff, so it just makes total business sense to slide it on over to Marvel. But they've already said they're going to get rid of all the elements of the expanded universe. And there's a lot, if you're a Star Wars fan, there's a lot of expanded universe characters. Your General Grand Admiral Thrawn, Mara Jade are probably the two headliners from that, that even if you don't know their names, you saw them, you'd recognize them as big time players in the Star Wars universe and characters that a lot of fans were clamoring for and hinting towards that would appear in the sequels. Because when the expanded universe began, it was with a series of three novels by an author named Timothy Zahn that introduced these two characters, which is the post-Return of the Jedi. So all this, here again, DC, Marvel, and now Star Wars is going to reboot its universe. The family of Bill Finger, we talked about this a couple of months ago. Bill Finger, if you run down the lists of things he created for Batman, you wonder how he is not considered the creator of Batman. Well, it looks like they're finally going to move forward with getting some credit for him. From my understanding and from what I hear, DC is very, very open to this, but they just finished fighting the Superman battle and they're like, you got to give us a little bit of time here. Yeah. So it sounds like they're going to, DC does sound like they want to do the right thing here, which is good to hear. So we'll see. I don't know. I think this is long overdue. Bill Finger is probably, I put him on my Mount Rushmore of comic book creators. So this is someone who needs to get his just due.
Bill? Now,
Sorry, go ahead, John.
I'm sorry. Now, Bill Finger actually did create Batman, whereas
the idea
Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster
Superman
created the draft of Superman, put out some very weak stories, and DC Comics says we can put out better stories, and they said
they were responsible.
They sold it.
The original draft for Superman was actually Lex Luthor, was more Lex Luthor, and they retooled the character to be Superman. It's not actually DC Comics. It's the radio dramas that add the Fortress of Solitude, that add Krypton. Huh. The radio drama for Superman adds all of those things. The Daily Planet, not DC Comics. And it's from the research I had done on Bill Finger was Bill Finger created the alter ego of Bruce Wayne. He created the Batcave. He created the Batmobile. He drew the costume. Okay, and from what we understand. Bob Kane came up with the name of Batman and the loose outline, but all of these other elements were created by Bill Finger.
Yeah, I knew that.
All right, let me marvel it up a little bit.
Go for it.
One of the, I want to say unsung writers that works for Marvel at the moment is Chris Yost. I used to boast about him a lot when he was writing the Avenging Spider-Man and things like that, and that some of his stories were very, very solid. So Chris Yost and Kyle Craig are going to take over. Kyle Craig, buddy.
Oh.
Are going to start writing Amazing X-Men. I promise you that's right.
No, I believe you.
Your reaction before, like, he was like, no, he's terrible.
No. Their run on X-Force was amazing. It's one of my favorite comic books.
So they're taking over Amazing X-Men, which up until the last issue had been Jason Aaron. So I'm kind of excited about it. I've had my say about Jason Aaron's writing on X-Men, where I felt it was a little childish for what I was looking for.
Uneven.
Yeah, uneven, childish, and at times...
The ice cream? Was that the ice cream incident?
No. That was... the name is, like, escaping me because it was so terrible. But I'm sure I'll come back to me later. But they're taking over Amazing X-Men, which I'm very, very excited about. Recently, in the Wolverine solo books, we found out that Wolverine has lost his healing factor due to, like, a virus that was going around. Literally, he lost his healing factor to a virus. Anyway, so they've really played it up in all of the X-Men books recently, and they have been teasing that all Wolverine titles shall be ending soon with the death of Wolverine in 3 months to live. Yes, sir.
Can I just say, we had a little bit, I think, before the podcast, like, teasing each other about each other's universes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one can throw punches here.
No
one can throw punches here.
No.
We had neither of us, neither of the DC and Marvel people have any legs to stand on
now,
in this fight.
There are ridiculous things that happen everywhere. But they are promising that Wolverine will be dead. Who knows how long, you know, a couple months.
4 months.
Until the next Wolverine movie comes out.
And now we'll have four Wolverines.
So,
all from another universe.
So Wolverine is definitely going to die. They promise that he will actually die. And it will affect the X-Men and all that, considering he runs a school.
You know, let's hope that they stick. I mean, because we all knew that when Superman died back in the 90s, he would come back. Mm-hmm. But at least it was like, it was 2 years, and they had an epic
right.
story. At least they stuck to that.
Yeah.
So you would hope that they don't hit the panic button and just...
Well, but I mean...
If they've got something that's planned out,
the thing with X-Men and people dying in the X-Men is they do tend to stay away for a while.
That's true. Nightcrawler was gone for
a long time.
Yeah.
The first time Xavier went out, he was gone for a while. Jean Grey, after the actual Dark Phoenix saga,
gone
for a very
yeah.
long time. So maybe they will
gone enough
for a while.
That their death is impactful, but more importantly, their return is impactful.
And that's what I'm hoping, because they've amped up Wolverine so much, it's kind of... I mean, he's almost one of the poster childs now for X-Men. And for Marvel as a whole, if you think of the X-Men anymore, Wolverine's face is there.
Yeah.
That's one of the good things they did with that Superman was when he returned. One of his very first appearances when he returned was the DC versus Marvel,
mm-hmm.
where Juggernaut was going to hit someone and he transmorphs into Metropolis and hits Superman. And Superman's like, you don't know who I am, do you? And you're like, yeah, buddy. So when you saw it with Superman, you're like, oh... You bit off more than you can chew this time, Juggernaut.
So, but I mean, I am. I'm hoping there's going to be some form of actual impact. And I think that if they do it right, it could be very, very beautiful in the fact that he has become such... He's changed a lot.
He's a tragic figure.
He is. And if you think about Wolverine back, a long, long time ago, when he was initially created and they threw him in the sewers fighting through, at that moment, they were going to get rid of him as a character. Because he had no power. And he's gone from that to basically, I don't know how many books I have right next to me that have Wolverine in it.
I mean, you can make the case that he is the poster, he is Marvel's...
The dominant character.
He is. And
he's the top headline.
And if you look at any X-Men movie that's come out recently at all, Wolverine's in it. Or he's a pivotal part. Other than First Class. He is one of the main characters. Pretty much revolves around.
He's one of the most interesting.
So, was.
You know, I say this about Wolverine, and one of the reasons I'm a Wolverine fan is because he's one of the few characters I can think of that is a totally flat character. Completely flat character. He never changes, but he's so interesting.
See, the thing is...
Batman's the same way.
They tried to change him for being a flat character. And that's the problem.
The Wolverine origin.
They've given him origin. Yeah. They've given him personality. They've given him relationships. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to kill him. So 3 months to live is coming up soon. And the sad thing is, I don't buy the Wolverine comic, but I might pick it up just because I really want to watch
for the
him
death of Wolverine.
Die. Yeah,
well, you got it. You know.
And Stegman is penning it, so it'd be pretty. It'll be
pretty.
Very
nice.
Grief.
Go for it.
Too many solo books in the Marvel universe. Right now, Cyclops, Nightcrawler, there's going to be a Star-Lord solo book, Rocket Raccoon, Magneto, Storm, Wolverine. Do I need to go on?
No.
Because there are more.
Well,
and it's just
Matter
becoming,
Eater Lab.
It's just becoming weighted.
Dude
and
gets his
way
own
too
solo
many.
Book.
And I'm just tired of it. It's so hard to keep track of, and when they fit into the continuity of everything, and... especially with Nightcrawler just coming back, and now he's a solo book, and he's in Amazing, and he's in this, and he's in that. It's kind of hard to follow where he's actually supposed
to
be.
Nightcrawler is a very fan-favorite character. It's not a shock that he gets...
Well, it's not, but it's one of those things. And he's supposed to be one of the front runners in X-Men Legacy when it comes back. So, I hate not being able to follow
continuity.
Is
Spurrier taking the new...
No, he has X-Force.
Okay, okay.
Which is technically a higher tier X-book.
He got... promoted.
Yeah, my last couple things, we've been talking back and forth about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was renewed officially. Marvel's Agent Carter was announced, which is going to be on the same night as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. From my understanding, it'll be on before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., leading into the show. If you're not familiar with Agent Carter, she's one of the founders of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's going to kind of follow her
was the Captain America's girlfriend.
Captain America's girlfriend. I'm going to skip one thing and go to that sci-fi channel has announced 3 comic book movies. I can't remember 2 of them, but the one that does stand out to me is Letter 44. They are going to make a TV show out of the book that I've been reading and Darren has recently picked up as well. My last bit of news is I need to apologize about last month. I, in my tired state, fell for a stupid April Fool's joke. Firefly has not been picked up by
this
Netflix.
This is only going to be about the 500th person that's reported this over the last 6 years.
Well,
so,
yeah. But I mean,
no apologies
but
necessary.
No, but it is, because I'm tired of stupid crap like that on the internet just because I forgot to look at the date. Because I read it, 3 weeks after the...
Well, this rumor has been swirling, not just in April, it's been swirling. Last April, I don't know if you remember, Netflix put the new episodes banner on the Firefly poster.
And that's the
problem.
And
that made people angry.
And I think the reason that I actually fell for it, because I've never fallen for it before, is because so much is getting renewed, rebooted, and started over.
Yeah, you're right.
And if it happened with Arrested Development...
I know.
That's what everybody champions.
Yeah, why could it
that's
not have happened with Firefly? So,
but we have to listen to Nathan Fillion, who says, "Are you effing serious? We're all busy now." And you have to listen to Joss Whedon and say, "Yeah, I'd love it to happen, but it's not going to." You have to listen to Summer Glau, who says,
"I'm busy being Lady Deathstrike."
Right.
But at the same time, you also heard the same list of stuff coming out of the guys that are in Arrested Development. "I'm too busy now. I'm doing movies. There's no way."
It'll happen. Here's the thing. This is almost inevitable that it'll happen.
Alan Tudyk has said that he would he would enjoy it.
But he's dead.
Alan Tudyk's dead.
No, Wash. Got killed in the movie.
I know.
Okay, and my last thing, although not...
Yes, you're right.
Thank you.
One thing we've learned about this conversation we've had so far is Jaddy's right. There's no reason for us to put money on the fact that Wash wouldn't be in a new episode of Serenity.
But anyhow, just to close out my bit, even though it's not comic book related, one of my personal favorite poets died today.
Everyone.
Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
especially us as English teachers.
It's really sad. Mm-hmm. She was a great poet,
an amazing woman,
one of the poet laureates in the United States.
Exactly.
She was an amazing woman.
So I just wanted to make sure that I put that in there. That is it. So we are moving on to something that's not on the rundown. Correct.
Well, here's the thing: we've got. I have to say, as a comic book fan, and as I. And by the way, I know you didn't want this to go mentioned, but a very happy birthday to Mr. Caps, who turns 65 tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Aged.
What, are you 33?
I'll be 33.
33
yes.
tomorrow? And
yes.
On Saturday, I will be 40. So it is hard for me to sit back and watch all these things start hitting the movie theaters and hitting the television screens, where as I grew up, there was nothing. You had... the 60s Batman series, which was on reruns, and then there was that one little, the Flash TV show that showed up out of nowhere for half a season.
You had the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, we had the Incredible Hulk, which wasn't bad.
No.
But you also had a Spider-Man series, which was
terrible.
It was better than the last two Spider-Man movies. But in terms of, like, these things being taken seriously, there was nothing out there. So now they're just coming at us at like, a breakneck speed, and it's almost impossible to keep up. And I have to say, as I think about this more and more, I kind of went on my big rant last month, where they're becoming derivative of themselves, where the actual thrill of seeing one on the big screen for me no longer holds, because now we've seen it. And we continue to see it, and it's just going to keep coming. Whereas the point where, you know, you mentioned that the Batman-Superman movies got a title, which I can't imagine that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, oh my gosh, if I was in high school or grade school and they announced there was going to be a Batman-Superman movie, I'd have lost my mind. I'm so off of this thing's bandwagon that it actually disturbs me how off, and I just think they're all becoming the same.
I mean, it is saturated. It absolutely is saturated with the fact that I tend to see a movie in the theater once a year. That was pretty much where I was at.
Well, I mean, that's also a larger comment on Hollywood as a whole.
It is, yeah. But I mean, it isn't even that. It's not that there weren't things out there that I wanted to see, but when doing the podcast and whatnot, comic book movies, I feel, are kind of a necessity for us to watch because we enjoy discussing them.
Yeah.
So
I will always want to see them.
Exactly. And I mean, I missed Thor in theaters. I didn't see it either. And I missed Superman, but it sounds like I didn't miss Superman. But
you know what? I actually, if I'm going to watch that again, I almost need to watch it with you. Whereas I think maybe, judging by your comments on Spider-Man 2, maybe the reverse needs to happen. Like, you need to see it with me. Because it's, like, too close. Too personal.
Maybe. Hmm. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're all coming out. And, like, for me right now, being the Marvel guy, I'm dying because there's so much coming out with Amazing Spider-Man 2. Just this summer, we got Amazing Spider-Man 2, Days of Futures Past, which both of you didn't see yet, which you need to. And with Guardians of the Galaxy in August, it's intense.
Now, let me just say something.
Please do, Jimmy.
We are not having Marvel coming at us. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is not Marvel.
Stop. Marvel.
X-Men, Days of Future Past is not Marvel. Guardians of the Galaxy is Marvel. That's what makes sense.
Johnny, they're Marvel Comics characters.
I know they're Marvel Comics characters.
You can't say it's not Marvel, because even when you watch the films, it's in association with Marvel Comics.
I get his point.
I get it, but it's hard to say that it's not what it is, because that is what it is.
I'm aware, but it's just, I mean, saying that there's so much coming at us, it's true. There is so much, as a comic book fan, it's never been a better time to be a comic book fan.
But Darren is also saying that it's too much.
And I'm aware of
that. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying it's all the same.
How is it all the same? Because they do have different stories. But are you saying just because you don't get the excitement of, holy crap, here's a superhero doing super things. We used to only get this once every 3 years. Now we're getting it every 2 months.
I think what we can say is,
on the big screen. God forbid the TV.
We mentioned this before, is there are basically two models of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Knight, the Avengers. Those are the two that you walked out of the theater going, oh my God. You walked out of the theater stunned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And completely separate tones. People are like, which do you like better? Do you like the Avengers or Batman better? I'm like,
different movies.
They're totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a team in one and you've got this loner in another. Totally different tones. Totally different styles. One's grounded in reality. The one just went all out with the fantastical on it. And they're both equal. Now, what I'm saying is they're all the same is they're all kind of shooting for the middle now. You know, and with Captain America Winter Soldier, they were going more to the Avengers, and then towards the end, they went almost, you know, I'm not absent of the big stunts and the big set pieces with the grim and dark outlook. So you went, you know, 90 minutes of Captain America being the hero, and then the grim and dark outlook. Like, now we're all loners, and now we're all underground, okay? So all of them are becoming, Man of Steel is the biggest culprit of them all. He shot for the center, and then we're going to take the violence, and it was the violence of the Dark Knight, which, back in, and I'm telling you, if you watch the Man of Steel, actually Avengers, way more violence than the Dark Knight actually is in some cases. So they're all shooting for the middle, and it's just like, it's okay. Superman should have been the Avengers. You know, maybe Thor should have been the Avengers. Coming up with Daredevil, you got to slide towards the Dark Knight. You see what I'm saying? It's like, look at the characters, and I don't think they're doing, I think, and you know, this is Hollywood. This is what they're going to do. They're going to go, Dark Knight, third most, what is that? The Avengers ended up right underneath the Dark Knight, or one of the two. They're right there, like three or four all-time movie grossing. Okay, so let's take the elements of the Dark Knight that work, and let's take the elements of the Avengers that worked. And I don't think they're looking at Captain America lends itself towards the Avengers. Superman lends itself towards the tone of the Avengers. Maybe some of the other ones. Lend themselves towards the tone of the Dark Knight. So they're all shooting for the middle, and they're all coming up with the same tone, okay? And it's all bad guy versus good guy, but there's not enough. Now, the X-Men, I have to say, Johnny and I were talking about this a little bit before the podcast, before you arrived. Five X-Men movies where it's the X-Men banner, okay?
Okay.
Absent of the individuals.
Yeah.
And I'm, from what it sounds like, they're 4 for 5 at this point, which is a pretty darn good ratio. I'd say 1, 2, and X-Men First Class, to me, I loved them.
No, First Class was good.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. I would say First Class was the
but
best
you,
of them all.
You may disagree with me.
Days of Future Past is better.
I like the second one. Do you see what I'm saying, though? I mean, you don't have to agree with me, but it's just sort of like,
don't be
afraid to be who you are.
But I feel like we're going to get outliers. So Guardians of the Galaxy in August, I feel is going to be different in the sense that I feel that it's going to come out more as a comedy. Where it's going to feel...
refreshing.
It will be refreshing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even if you look at the previews, if you know the characters at all...
It looks fantastic.
There's going to be a good level of comedy mixed mm-hmm. with more of a sci-fi, almost Star Trek-y type feel, which I'm excited for.
It's getting built as a space opera.
Which I feel it will be,
really,
and I feel it'll be very, very good.
It's one of the only genres that Marvel movies has not explored.
And then we'll get a break before Ant-Man?
No.
Oh, no. They're shutting that down for a while.
No. No, they're not
the director,
shutting it down.
Well, I mean, for a little while. So it is shut down for a while.
It has not been officially shut down?
No, I mean, they're going to continue.
It's pushed back.
It's pushed back.
Yeah, they have to.
It's always going to be released after Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron is next year.
Yeah, it is. After Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
So that's next year, yeah, next year.
Wow, I can't believe it's that soon. But anyhow, no, I see where you're coming from, where it is just kind of that no one's trying to go above and beyond. Maybe it's because they feel they can't compete with...
Well, I think, you know, one of the problems I've had with the Marvel individual movies mm-hmm. is that they were all just setups for the Avengers. Now, the payoff was outstanding.
The payoff,
I was like, okay, I get it. Totally worth it. Like, the individual Iron Man movie, the first one was fantastic. I hated Iron Man 2. I mean, it wasn't a good movie. It was a total drop-off. Right. I did not like Thor. I mean, you know how I stand on
these.
First Captain America was uneven.
I agree with that completely.
So, and it's just kind of like, Winter Soldier was good. I enjoyed Winter Soldier for the most part. I went on my rant last month. So I just feel like, you know, it's funny, we always just come up with fans like, okay, what's the overall plan? What's your objective?
The objective is Avengers.
Yeah, essentially, it's like scaffolding. Work backwards here.
And I mean, that's definitely Avengers 2 as well, with it being Age of Ultron. You're seeing society fall apart. That's what happened in Captain America. I didn't see Dark World. I'm assuming basically parts of society started falling apart. Guardians of the Galaxy is going to introduce the space aspect, leading into Thanos into the third movie. So we're seeing it all lead up to that. So it is. It's the same formula where we're getting a ramp up. We're getting introduced, even the little teaser at the end of Captain America where we saw Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, where it's leading toward Avengers 2. And then Avengers 2 is going to be that movie that hopefully blows our...
We have no reason to think it won't.
No.
It's got good pedigree. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me pose this question to both of you. Okay, so... Do you think we'll ever get to a point, because our biggest complaint when we were probably, let's say, 10 years ago, maybe more, was if there was a comic book movie coming out, we want you to take it seriously. Please take mm-hmm. it seriously. Please respect the source material. Do you ever think we're going to get to a point where we're like, oh my gosh, why are they taking this so seriously? You could definitely make that case for Batman, especially in The Dark Knight. As you know, it's... I don't know.
I don't. Other than... But see, we get the opposite, though, because... There's that whole idea, too, that comic book movies, at least the older ones, were kind of meant for, I don't know if this is exactly the idea, but like a father taking his child to see a movie. And that's the way that, like, the original Batman and, like, you know, leading up to that movie, we don't talk about that, had Robin and nipples.
Schumacher.
So, like, all of those movies felt more like that, and we're starting to get more of the... They know who their market is. Those kids that were being brought to the movies by their parents for those movies are now adults that want
to
see these. And the way that they're balancing that out are the cartoon versions of all those movies. So I think as long as they continue to release those one-shot cartoon movies, that's the place for the little less serious, while the movies, the live action, is more for the taking it seriously.
I will never get past being unable to fathom a child going to see Man of Steel and going, there's, like I said, my daughter really wanted to see it. I'm like, I'm not letting her watch that movie.
I would not take a child to see Days of Futures Past. I would not see a child to go see Amazing Spider-Man 2. The way that Electro is made is brutal. Like, my wife looked at me, she's like, that was scary.
I would take a child to see Avengers.
Oh yeah, we went. Yeah, Lily watched it.
But that might be
we edited it. We edited one or two parts out of there for her, but
I can
she watched it with
you,
us.
Avengers 2 will not be that clean.
Probably
it will not be that clean.
Probably.
It's
not necessarily what's going on. I mean, I wouldn't take a child to see Spawn either, and that was released in the 90s.
That was always a crappy movie.
Oh, it was horrible.
I wouldn't take
it to see The Crow either.
But
that's not Superman.
But that's Foundation.
No, you're right.
But those movies
aren't dealt with progressively worse. They're not becoming progressively darker.
They are. Though,
you're right.
No. I disagree.
I mean, there's darkness out there.
But
you still don't expect it from Superman.
But that's the thing. The Crow and Spawn were not. Those aren't books that were meant for children either.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Spawn was dealing with rape, murder, and hell. The Crow, same kind of stuff. Guys coming back for revenge. Superman is Superman.
You're right.
So you're looking at apples to oranges.
Truth, justice, in the American way.
Exactly. So you never expected Superman to be that kind of movie that you're like, I can't bring my child to because he's killing people.
But Johnny has a point, though, because, you know, a lot of those books on the shelves, if you're picking up comic books, they're sitting right next to Superman.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's something else to consider.
But were they, like, I remember my comic shop where things like The Crow and Spawn were kept in a different area than Superman.
You know, small store,
but
though.
They aren't anymore.
That's the yeah he's right.
That's the thing, they're not.
Yeah,
but
tonally,
but it's the same.
You could pick up Nightwing and he's almost a Crow.
But you got to look at you. Have,
I mean, all right, I can see that.
And you're looking at television as a whole as well. I mean, this is a whole social commentary where, well, we were talking about how much we enjoyed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes,
it's a primetime TV show.
What
okay?
did you guys think? I mean, now here's the thing.
I would say after the tie-ins with Winter Soldier to the end of that show, phenomenal.
You don't blame me for bailing on that thing after six episodes.
There were some episodes in there that were just me going, please get better.
Yeah.
Because it was enjoyable for me because I'm such a Marvel guy, and there were little, like, Easter eggs throughout that. I was like, I could enjoy it.
There were tidbits here and there.
But then it got to this point with when Hydra was introduced, leading into all that. It got out of control. We found out what happened with Coulson. We found out all this good stuff. But my thing with that is that's primetime television. There was murder. There was blood. There was all kinds of things. And that's just normal television. 8 o'clock television, when I was a kid, was like TGIF. Like, you had, like,
Family Matters.
Oh, my God,
TGIF, yeah.
And like, Full House and Step by Step and things that you were just kind of like, oh, no, today Jimmy accidentally stole a bike. Like, it's not the same thing.
Uncle Joey forms a rock band again.
What'd you think, Johnny?
Of Visions of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was a great follow-up to Winter Soldier. I thought the final episodes, the Uprising,
it was
episodes,
the best tie-in.
They really, really, it was really, really good. It brought closure. It brought closure to something that Marvel left hanging at the end of Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It brought a lot of strength to those characters. And Joss Whedon championed that show. There were episodes, yes, that were weaker than others.
Not the back, like,
part
of it.
There were some episodes, but, I mean, overall, with any television show, you're going to find episodes that are weaker than others, except for, like, CSI, where every episode is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there was importance to all the episodes that led up to it.
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
They did tie it all together at the end, where if you hadn't seen those beginning episodes, some of the stuff at the end wouldn't make sense.
It's world building. It's world building. Like I was talking about in a couple shows ago. It's world building. You have to stick with it. You have to invest in the world. You have to see the end game. This is world building. Now, when it happened with Agent Ward, took me totally off guard.
Yeah.
But looking back, I can see how the Easter eggs, like you were saying, that were dropped to show this is what's going to happen to Agent Ward. And there is still enough mystery to these characters to follow it through to a second, any third season.
And I have to tell you, that moment when that Hail Hydra popped up on the screen.
Boom!
I was pumped. Granted, I'd already seen Winter Soldier, and I knew it was coming when everything started going bad, but it still felt so good. And it was the perfect tie-up to the end of that movie, because there's so much left open at the end of Winter Soldier, and it leads us into what's coming.
I've heard people complaining. So we're expected to believe that this agency, this Hydra, infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. for 50 years and just worked without being noticed, and how are we supposed to believe that?
They're not.
It's Hydra. It's Hydra. Anybody who's read comics in the past 60 years knows Hydra is a kick-ass industry. They infiltrate, and they... I'm sorry, I'm tangenting, but...
Sorry.
No, I loved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then I totally found it...
It was enjoyable.
It was
absolutely
chilling.
Enjoyable.
It was absolutely
By the time it's over, it's definitely worth the watch.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited for the next season, and I really feel like they'll tie it into Avengers 2
forward to Agent Carter as well.
I'm iffy on that, but we'll talk about that once it starts.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Agreed. But speaking of...
tie-ins.
X-Men films. We have a retroactive review from my brother Phil over here.
All right. I decided for my retro review this month, timely of course, to look back into X-Men Days of Futures Past. Now, I was really surprised when I did my research, first and foremost, of Days of Futures Past, because I remember it being a pretty long event. Johnny, how long is Days of Futures Past? Do you know?
Six issues.
Two
issues?
It is two books! I'm not saying that it never ties in at any other point. Matter of fact, Rachel Gray, who is a main character currently in the X-Men and was a main character since the late 80s, comes from that future that is created. But the actual Days of Future Past storyline is two issues. Now, somewhat similar to the movie, someone from the future is sent into the past, but instead of Logan, which is what the current X-Men movie does, Kitty Pryde gets sent back into the past, into her younger self's body. She is sent back to stop Mystique and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants from killing Senator Kelly, because it sets off the big anti-mutant rebellion. So, obviously, everything goes well, and there is no giant rebellion, and supposedly the world has changed, and Kitty Pryde returns to her body. So, it's very, very short, and it's only two issues, and it's amazing how much differently the movie approached it, with Logan doing it, and there's a lot more history in, and Mystique is running on her own versus Mystique and her brotherhood. I don't want to say anything else, because you two have not seen the movie. But we don't get as much of the future. We kind of get little glimpses of Kitty Pryde and, like, the Sentinels running it, running the future, but not much else. And this is also where Nimrod comes from, and I'm still doing my giant retro read of X-Men as a whole, and Nimrod is running around kind of hunting down Rachel Gray. So it definitely continues to tie in, but as of right now, from what it seems, especially with current X-Men books, that future doesn't exist. So this is just a kind of a setup for a lot of things that went on with the New Mutants, Excalibur, and X-Men in the 80s to 90s. And like I said, two issues. Really surprised. They did little like tie-ins later on with like storylines that happened in that world, but I kind of stayed away from it. I just wanted to read the base material. So if you're interested in it, it'll take you half an hour, 45 minutes to just really sit down and enjoy them. Sit down and read it. It's worth it. It ties into everything that's going on in the movies, and even if you really think about it, what's going on in the comics now. So, out of 3 out of 5 stars.
How was it that, with a two-issue, I guess, miniseries, and it just kind of like a...
It's just an arc.
Yeah, just a one quick story arc. Why do you think it has endured for so long? Because I suppose it's considered one of the great mini arcs.
It is, and I think the reason for that is... it's not forgotten. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot with arcs, where arcs just happen, and then a year later, you just kind of forget. Like, you remember something happened, but because there are characters in the comics that came from that time frame that are still in existence, we remember them. Like, Rachel Gray came from it. She references it frequently, that she was forced to be a hunter of mutants from humans. They trained her and forced her to hunt and kill her own friends.
Yeah.
I think that because of her history... that it matters so much, and because it makes you really think how much a single event can change the future. And the whole concept of X-Men is kind of surrounding the idea that is explored during that arc, where humans, at their base, are terrified of things that they don't understand and will do whatever it takes to destroy it. And one wrong move, one hiccup, can lead to genocide, basically. So... I just think it's an important moment in X-Men history of this is the worst possible thing that could happen. And we get to see it through, at that time, kind of the eyes of the babe of the team. Because Kitty Pryde was kind of like the kid, you know, the one that everyone was like, oh, she's the future. She's so smart. And she's really learning her powers, and she's the youngest X-Man. And the reality was she saw the worst. She survived to the worst part. And she was the reason that they survived through it.
Kitty Pryde is always one of my favorite.
Kitty Pryde is still very solid
in
the X-Men universe. So, like I said, definitely worth the read. It isn't
so
as extensive as I remember. It holds up, definitely. It's just,
excellent.
It's not as extensive as I remember.
All right.
So, little lighter. We've been doing this thing recently called Ridiculous Storyline Trivia. So far, I'm winning. Did I mention that I'm beating you both?
2-1-1.
2-1-1. You can't get a point this well. You can if you stump us both.
Well, we could all get a point.
We could all get a point.
If I stump you guys,
I do want to clear up a rule. Are we able to vote for the same storyline when we're going around? Because last time I missed out because I wanted to vote for the same one, but you got to go before me.
I don't want to overcomplicate this.
Okay.
So I would say I think this time. Let's cross that bridge if it needs to be crossed.
Okay, so the actual concept behind Ridiculous Storyline Trivia,
well,
each other.
We are, is
yeah,
that whoever
nothing.
Whoever the podcast month gets the draw, this month it is Johnny Caps,
nope,
we choose.
My month. Johnny did it last month because I had
the
jumble.
Oh, it is Darren, eh? Okay, so Darren, sorry. We choose a superhero or superhero team of some sort, and we go through storylines.
That's a little bit loosely based.
Loosely based.
I like Johnny's take on it last month.
Yeah.
Where it was more Superman's powers, which would not exist.
So we focus on something, basically, that is comic book related. I've done Spider-Man and... Did I do X-Men already? Or did I just do Spider-Man?
I don't know. Let's go back and look. I know he did.
I know I did Spider-Man.
I did Batman, Superman.
Maybe I've only done Spider-Man.
You've only done the Spider-Man.
So, regardless, we pick something. We look up two ridiculous storylines, or in Johnny's case this last time, two ridiculous powers. And then we come up with our own, and we try to stump our podcast mates. So, this month, Darren is doing Justice League? Is that correct? Which
I'm screwed,
because I know
nothing about Justice League. I thought about this a little bit, and I tried to make it a little bit... this is not a storyline. This is which one of the following characters was never a member of any of the Justice League?
Oh, bring it.
All right. Aqualad 2, you know, the Crisis on Infinite Earth, Batman 2, Superman 2, Alistair Curry. When the original Aqualad perished during the Crisis on Infinite Earth, Aquaman discovered that he had sired another son with a porpoise. Aqualad's appearance was that of half-man, half-porpoise, and possessed incredible speed, agility, and awareness in the water. He could not survive on land like his father, but was a formidable opponent to Black Manta, too. This following the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Continuing with the Crisis on Infinite Earths, Green Lantern Alan Scott. We all know that the classic Green Lantern Hal Jordan is a founding member of the Justice League in almost any era, but many casual comic observers forget that Hal Jordan is not the first Green Lantern. That distinction belongs to Alan Scott, who has resurfaced in the New 52 with other distinctions that need not be mentioned. All right. Okay. Vibe Francisco Paco Ramon. Vibe's abilities originate in his ability to cause vibrations in most solid objects. He finds the rest of the Justice League members' reliance on the ancient teaching of martial arts to be hopelessly antiquated and, instead, incorporates breakdancing in his fighting style. General Glory, Joseph Aloysius Jones. An obvious poke at Captain America, General Glory is a geriatric war vet that was granted the ability to become a rock-solid muscular Adonis when he uttered a patriotic phrase. He was granted these abilities by, you guessed it, the Statue of Liberty, whom had been a sentient monitor of all things in the DCU since her arrival in New York City. And finally, Black Condor, Ryan Kendall. First a member of the Society of the Golden Wing while under the original publisher, Crack Comics. When Crack Comics folded, DC took control of the character, believing that his natural Native American backstory and heritage would be a big seller. Black Condor's ability include telekinesis and wind-assisted flight. BC has also been known to carry a ray gun. Now, One of these five characters was never a member of the Justice League in any incarnation. Johnny, pick a number between 1 and 3.
1.
You are correct. Johnny will go first. Johnny.
Aqualad.
You're saying Aqualad was never a member of any Justice League.
Absolutely.
All right,
Bill? Go with the Lantern.
Green Lantern was a member of the Justice Society, a direct precursor to the Justice League, which formed the Justice League. Johnny is correct.
Thank
Aqualad.
You.
I know nothing.
This one, I mean, but think about this.
I didn't even know he existed.
Francisco, he doesn't. I totally invented him.
No, I know.
Francisco Paco Ramon was a member of the Justice League Detroit.
Yes.
First appeared at JLA Annual 1984.
I actually know who that person was.
Yeah.
General Glory was a member of the Justice League International. His first appearance was 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Condor, his first appearance was JLA 1992.
The reason the Lantern thing was, it just seemed so obvious that he should have been a Justice League person that I thought he might not be.
Yeah. No. Well, all right.
So I'm next then?
Yeah, you are next.
I think I might Dazzler it up.
Ooh.
So screw you both, because all Dazzler storylines are ridiculous. So good luck with that.
So, well, that's going to be a big one for you, Johnny, because you just pulled even. Actually, it's a big one for me, because I'm trailing 2-2-1 here.
Yeah. So hopefully I can stump you, because Dazzler sucks, and I've just spent a
was
lot
that
of
the
time.
One that they tried to make a movie and a video and tried to do all this cross-promotion?
Dazzler, they've tried so hard to promote her.
Oh, she's a movie
fails.
Star. She makes sound and delight.
Please don't
yeah.
do that. Not,
you're screwed.
No. You're right.
Yeah.
And you know what? I will happily say you're right. I know nothing
of
Dazzler.
Isn't the whole point of this to make it as ridiculous
yes.
and attempt
yes.
to stump you all?
Yes.
Oh, Dazzler's happening.
I'm really upset that Johnny got that so easily.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, this sounds like this should have already happened. Like, when I invented Aqualad 2, I'm like, wait, I better make sure there wasn't
an
Aqualad 2.
Aquaman's long-running joke is he has sex with fishes. You had him have
which
sex
is,
with
which
a porpoise.
Which is why I thought
I
it would work.
Not.
Shit's okay.
No, he's right. Fishes.
Fish. No,
he's right.
Fishes.
Because if you're
cool.
talking about more than one species of fish, it's fishes.
I guess.
Yeah, he's right.
I guess.
So he would never, the DC Comics would never let him have sex with
a
porpoise.
I have a saltwater aquarium, that's why I know that. It has nothing to do with me being a
nerd. That's all. All right.
What are you doing right now?
Oh, no, I'm not saying I'm not.
Okay.
All right, we're moving on to a section called Stuck, Stick, Pig, Sayonara, where we talk
out of
about
order. Stick, Stuck, Pig, Sayonara.
Sorry.
From this point
sorry.
Forward, whenever you missay that, we're just going to punch you in the face.
I appreciate that. Where we talk about the comics that we are reading, and we talk about the comics that we are going to stop reading. I am first.
That's much more succinct,
yeah,
actually.
Really
right?
succinct.
Yeah, yours is better.
That makes up for you saying that.
Well done.
Thank you. All right. Now, books I'm sticking with. Batman Eternal, which is the weekly Batman title. It's exhausting on my pocket. But
how much is that weekly?
Oh, $2.99.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
No, it's
that's
not
the
good.
Only book you get.
It's not
okay.
good. But I actually thought about letting this be, like, only sticking with the weeklies. But then, because DC is going to have 3 weeklies by the end of September, and it's exhausting. But no,
DC...
Batman Eternal is actually... Well, let me talk.
Go ahead,
Batman
sorry.
Eternal is actually a really, really good story. With the authors like Scott Snyder, the Batman scribe, Batman primary scribe, James Tynion IV, his protege, Ray Fox, John Layman. John Layman was the recent writer of Detective Comics and did amazing things there. It is an incredible story with some mystery and some drama.
So do they change the writer every week?
Yeah,
or, okay.
yeah, yeah. Where they each get a new writer, and so you each get a new look at the
So are they
one-shots,
or are they connected?
No, they're connected.
Okay.
They just introduced the Trojan.
Okay.
Or the Roman. I'm sorry, the Roman. I don't know if you guys know the Roman.
In Batman? Oh,
yeah. Carmine Falcone.
Absolutely.
They just
Long
introduced
hell.
Him. He's back in Gotham, and it's amazing.
Batman's my one DC thing. I kind of know some stuff about
him. Yeah, he's amazing. All right, the other one I'm sticking with is Harley Quinn.
It's Harley Quinn.
And as much as I complain about her not being as awesome as the Suicide Squad by Ron Glass, the Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad by Ron Glass... This is almost like a parody. This is almost like, this is the goofy side of Harley Quinn. So you can't take it too seriously. Ron Glasses was dark and edgy and intense, and psychiatrist gone nuts, like Harley Quinn is supposed to be. This, she's actually working as a psychiatrist. And it's actually a decent book. Books I'm stuck on, obviously, Batman. By Scott Snyder. Holy crap.
Greg Capullo.
And with Greg Capullo on art, holy crap.
Maybe the best working
team
amazing. Right now.
This book is amazing. We are winding down on 0 year. We are in the final arc. This story has been incredible. This entire arc.
It better have been, because I would have guessed months ago this thing was over.
Wow.
Jeez.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
good, though, huh?
It's
zero.
Been since this book, but this has been since issue 24.
Wow, that's a long arc.
It has been incredible. Every bit of it has been incredible.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Wasn't that
amazing.
Last September?
They're on.
Are they normally $4.99?
No. This was double sized issue.
Okay.
They're normally $3.99.
I was going to say DC
a lot better.
Never over $3.99.
Never over $2.99.
How long did that last?
A few months. Then they rebooted their universe. You can't blame them. The whole universe got rebooted.
Yeah, you're right. You can't blame them. Okay, keep going.
All right, also, I'm stuck on Justice League United, which was formerly Justice League Canada. This is so much fun! Spider writer Jeff Lemire and artist Mike McConey.
It's vibing there.
Do they eat a lot of maple syrup?
Hush, it's a good book.
Sorry.
How's it going?
It's a good, no, but there is Equinox.
When you,
one of the heroes.
Is that what it's about?
When you open a cover, do you hear...
Yes!
Take off,
hey! No, this is so much fun. This is like... We have chemistry between Animal Man and Green Arrow, who were... They went to Canada, yeah. They were the underappreciated members of the Justice Leagues, and they're awesome together, and I hope they get married. We have Adam Strange, and Adam Strange is a horribly named character, but he's so much fun. We have Equinox, who Jeff Lemire invented because it's Canada, eh? And Equinox.
There we go.
So... It's just so much fun. It's just a great book, and it's an alien invasion in Canada. I don't know how they could tell that from the aliens from the natives, but they did.
It's
so
let's offend all the Canadians possible.
Ha!
Yeah, what are they going to do
crazy
about it?
Crazy Canucks. All right.
Oh, we're sorry.
We're sorry, eh?
We'll apologize.
Look at our maple leaf.
How many wars has Canada been in?
Hey, don't talk about us.
All right. All right, so, and Justice League...
Why were you Australian?
I don't know. Hey, British colonies, okay?
Put a beard half in him, he becomes Australian.
Thank you. Justice League Dark, by my boy J.M. DeMatteis.
Hey, what's going on with that movie? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you would be...
I don't know.
That's one of those things we're never going to see.
Says he's going to make it, but now there's a Constantine television show.
We're never going to see that, though.
No, we're never going
to
see it.
I'm sorry to hear
that. Del Toro...
You've been on this thing since
Toro
it started.
Doing the Constantine show?
No.
Oh,
he was supposed
to
do.
Holy crap!
No, he was supposed to. No. He was going to make the Justice League Dark movie, which
yeah.
is one of those things. Where like, no, you're not.
No,
I'm sorry, Johnny.
No.
But you've been pushing this book since it started.
Yeah, you have.
This book has been amazing. We've got in this we have the psychological traumas of a character that wears a Tamiya. Goes into the character's mind and is harassed, and we have a drunk Constantine, and we have
bondage
Constantine
on the cover.
Having
does
you know,
the
going with prostitutes, and it's just great. We have that's Zatanna.
Can we agree, Zatanna maybe does have the hottest costume of all time?
Oh hell yeah!
I mean, you see her walk,
oh,
and you're like,
hell yeah!
You win. Wonder Woman's over there, like, nah, you win.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Wonder Woman.
You're wearing a
cleavage
tux with no
pants. It's fishnets driving crazy. Anyways, moving on.
I couldn't believe they did that in the Batman the Animated Series, too. She walked on screen like, oh my god, I didn't... Wow!
I didn't edit that at all!
All
right. You got some good stuff.
Justice League Dark
yeah.
has been solid for 31 issues. It's been a great book, and I will continue to purchase it. I am stuck on that.
And
pause real
been.
Quick. This summer we need to do a Marvel DC swap.
Oh, that's a good idea. What would
so
I do?
So I can read some of your DC, you can read some of my Marvel.
We
I
do.
Have boxes. All right, continue. I'm sorry, I just thought of that because he has so
yeah,
many.
Yeah.
He has like a lot of stuff I actually would really like to read, but I'm not buying
I know.
It. That's issue 31.
He should, you know, that is something we should
right.
both read. He's been so high
yeah,
on it
exactly.
for so long.
I agree.
My pick of the month is actually Sinestro. Sinestro. It
one
was
of
a,
the great underrated villains of all
I
time.
I totally agree with you now. This is by Colin Bunn. And
I love Colin Bunn.
With art by Dale Eaglesham.
They did Spider-Man together.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. That's one of the things. And I love this book. It's a space opera. And that's why I'm picking it up. It's because it's a space opera and that's what I got. It's a great book. It's got intensity. It's got great art. It's got great story. It's just a fantastic book. So... that's my pick of the month. Now my sayonaras. Sadly, I have to say a sayonara to a long favorite Suicide Squad.
Chopping Block?
No.
No?
No. Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes, Chopping Block.
You
got canceled. With issue 30, and I'm sad about that.
Yeah, you
loved
it.
But it's getting resurrected as
all new
Suicide Squad.
I don't know anything about all new.
So,
books.
There we go.
Hey, the Suicide Squad was in Arrow.
Yeah, I heard about that. With
it was good, too.
I need to watch Arrow. It's on Netflix now.
Arrow, yeah.
We'll all right, I'll tell you. From what I understand, I'm sorry to interrupt again, Johnny. It's kind of the same deal with the first half of the season is extremely uneven.
Okay.
They really hit their stride. By the way, I didn't get a chance to talk about it. Season 2 of Arrow was outstanding.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing.
First of all, Deathstroke is the lead villain, and he shows up as Deathstroke.
I think I'm going to watch
with
Arrow
the mask and everything
without the
yeah.
wife around. I make her watch too much comic book stuff as is.
You'll like it.
Sorry, I'm glad we're actually just talking too.
Yeah,
this is good. We need to do this more. Continue. Sorry, Johnny.
All right, we got another one: Aquaman and the Others. Just because
there's
Donald
others.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Johnny, you're on fire today.
Oh man, you've been amazing.
Alright, Forever Evil, number 7. It is done, and it was incredible. Great ending, but...
a sad sayo.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. Forever's End.
I couldn't make it through it.
Getting on the chopping block.
I wasn't a fan of the free comic book day one.
That was neat.
I was a fan, but God, every week? I got sick of Batman Eternal. I'm sorry. There's just...
wow.
Every week.
Go ahead, Jake.
It's okay.
No.
We're adults here.
No.
I've done it once or twice. It was all Man of Steel related.
Every week, okay.
There we go.
There it is.
There.
Please be said.
God damn. Oh, two in a row. All right, there we go.
Lots of aggression.
No, I'm... yeah, I'm done with Future's End. It was sad, but I have to eat. And sadly, Justice League of America kind of gets the axe because it ended and became Justice League Canada. I'm sorry, Justice League United.
I was going to say, ooh,
yeah.
America became Canada?
No.
Something's going on in
Justice
the universe.
Justice League United. Yeah. And that's what I got on my dock.
So it's time for me to stickle, suckle, pickle.
Let's see what we got.
All right, so books that I'm sticking on, get ready to hear all new a whole bunch because I read Marvel. All New Ultimates. It's the Avengers of the Ultimate Universe. It's the Leftovers. Interesting. Cloak, Dagger, Black Widow, who is actually Spider-Girl, and Kitty Pryde is going to end up being... it's getting interesting, so it's stuck. It was almost a sayonara, but it's only the second issue. A surprising purchase for me is Cyclops.
Wait, isn't that the All-New Cyclops?
No, it's just Cyclops.
From All New X-Men?
It is the kid.
From
it
All New X-Men?
Yeah, it's the kid.
So
one.
It's All New Cyclops.
But it's not All... it doesn't say All New.
I know.
So, Cyclops, he's in space with his father, so it's very Starjammers heavy. And I actually... even when you were reading the Bendis All New X-Men, you said, surprisingly, he was stomachable as a character.
Yeah.
And he continues to be. So, I'm excited about him sticking with it because it's Cyclops.
Who's writing it?
Rucka.
Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka. Yeah. Yeah,
old DC guy. Give him a Pulitzer. He made Cyclops stomachable.
Peabody Award. Eisner Award. Bendis made him Eisner stomachable, Award. And it's continuing to be so. Nightcrawler, written by Chris Claremont.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Yeah.
He's back.
He's back. He's writing Nightcrawler, which is where he's good. He is good with specific X-Men. It's Nightcrawler running around with his girlfriend, who's a... used to be in the circus and is a wizard. It's weird, but it's Nightcrawler. I'm enjoying it, but it's nothing that I like salivate over when it comes out.
I will always remember Chris Claremont for two things: an amazing run on X-Men and an absolutely horrible run on X-Men.
Yeah, back to back. Anyway, Silver
Use the
Surfer.
Power of your mind.
Silver Surfer. I don't know how I feel about it yet. It's Dan Slott. The thing with Silver Surfer, yeah, Silver Surfer, it's never been a character I've been really interested in. He's trying to be really humanized in this. He's no longer working for Galactus, obviously. And he's kind of with a human girl. It's interesting. I don't know where it's going. I'm only two issues in. I'm going to give it another couple and really have a final thought on it. But Dan Slott's funny, and he keeps it funny. It's good.
Silver Surfer fans, to me, in the comic book world, have always been like Dave Matthews fans. If you like Dave Matthews, then you're a good person. If you don't like Dave Matthews, then you're an asshole. That's how they always feel. And I feel Silver Surfer fans, like, if you meet a Silver Surfer fan, like, do you like Silver Surfer? No. What's your problem, dude? You're a jerk. So I've always felt about Silver Surfer. They're fans.
He's kind of just a dick.
They're so elitist.
Silver Surfer is very much, I have the power cosmic.
I'm talking about the fans.
Well, fans are assholes.
They're elitist.
Yeah,
and that's what scares me, because Dan Slott gets so much heat for no matter what he does, no matter how good it is.
He probably loves it.
Oh, probably. He definitely feeds off of his fans' anger.
I was just reading his She-Hulk series.
Oh, it's so good.
It's incredible.
Ultimate FF, because I'm buying everything in the Ultimate Universe, because there's three books, and I just kind of want to see what's going on. It's Ultimate FF, which is Fantastic Four, The Ultimates, and Miles Morales' Spider-Man. Those are the three books. Yes, sir.
Ultimate Universe. Is it continuing from the previous Ultimate Universe?
This is continuing after Galactus fucked up the world. And Kitty Pryde saved
she
it.
Tends
so,
to do that. And she tends to
they
do that
rebooted
too.
The reboot.
It's not rebooted.
At least we admit
what?
That
we No. To me, once again, a reboot is a restart. This isn't a restart. It's the same. It's still the same character.
Is there an origin story?
No.
Okay.
Why would there be an origin story? They're coming right out of the chaos that was Cataclysm. All right.
Thank you.
No origin story.
What number is that?
Two. No, FF was not a title before.
Got it. I'm with you.
Fantastic Four was the title before.
Thumbs up, buddy.
So, fuck you. Anyway, Ultimate FF is actually focusing more on Susan Storm than anything, and she's actually a really interesting character in this universe because she's so wrecked because Reed Richards is a dick in the Ultimate Universe.
Reed Richards is a dick in the Ultimate Universe.
No. Super dick. Like, kills people.
Oh, okay.
So it's her, Falcon, Iron Man, and Doctor Doom. It's really interesting, but I don't know where it's going yet. Two issues in, so I'm just sticking with it. And Wolverine and the X-Men. I'm up in the air. Latour is writing it right now instead of Jason Aaron. It's very, very focused on Kid Omega, also known as Quentin Quire, as you know him.
Yeah.
And it's focusing on the Phoenix, which is kind of why I'm falling off. I'm getting tired of the Phoenix. She just keeps coming back and coming back.
Yeah.
What the Phoenix?
But at the
That's
same
like when
time,
Hulk Hogan keeps coming back.
Same
like,
time,
come on, buddy. You're 60 years old.
The Apocalypse.
Hulk Hogan of comics.
So anyone could beat the Phoenix.
So Apocalypse. Kid Apocalypse.
What you gonna do, brother?
Good question.
Wow. So the Phoenix people are coming after the Apocalypse. That's part of Wolverine's school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're promising maybe an Apocalypse storyline coming up, which I'm excited for because, as I was saying before, I'm tired of the infighting. I'm tired of X-Men versus X-Men, X-Men versus Avengers. I don't want to see a villain again. It's been a while.
Now, is Apocalypse... I know who he is.
Yeah.
But I always get confused. Is it Thanos or Apocalypse was the derivative of Darkseid? One of those
Thanos.
Two was. Thanos.
Okay.
Apocalypse was the first mutant.
Yeah, he's an Egyptian crazy dude.
He goes
I know
that.
Who he is, yeah.
Yeah, no,
I've always
no.
liked
Thanos,
him.
Thanos is the Darkseid dude.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, on to my stuck. I'm stuck on All New X-Factor because it's still collecting the team and it's fun. It's so much fun. It's New Mutants mixed with every other old X-book that wasn't an X-book.
Fantastic.
It's been fantastic. It's been wonderful.
Nice.
Fun. They work for a company. So
that's your Spurrier guy, right?
No, it's not Spurrier.
No?
This is David.
Oh. Is that
Peter
something
David?
David?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
so,
I had to pick that up.
All new X-Men. I was talking before how it's just kind of getting a little convoluted, but still very fun. We're starting to find out where these future people came from, because these are the future X-Men from Battle of the Atom that are coming back and fucking with the X-Men from the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of moving pieces. Black Science, which I've been touting how much I love this book.
Really?
It's Rick Remender. Do you not remember me talking about this before?
I remember.
They're traveling through the different layers of the multiverse, and they're trying to find cures for diseases, but their machine breaks, so they're stuck going back and forth. People keep dying like crazy. And it's totally outside of the norm. There's no superheroes. It's just scientists being scientists.
That sounds
Darren,
fantastic, dude.
You would love this book.
Sounds fantastic.
I'm telling you right now, if you want to borrow them, there are 6 issues. It's on a slight hiatus right now.
Check
it's
it out.
Amazing. Guardians of the Galaxy. Agent Venom has joined the team. He's in space. Which is awesome, because where did the symbiote come from?
Space.
Guess who doesn't
yeah.
like the symbiote? Space! So people are coming after them for that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who is Venom now?
It's still Flash Thompson. Who has no legs. He has no legs. Absolutely fun book is Magneto. Magnus is just going around and messing up people that hate him. It's been violent. It's been very, very violent.
Why is Boba Fett on the cover?
Because Boba Fett is Magneto.
Oh, now see, Magneto.
Moving on. Magneto.
I don't have any magnets in my refrigerator, Phil.
Yes, you do, yes. I've been swearing. Good beer. Amazing Spider-Man, learning to crawl. I didn't know how I felt about it initially. It's, oh my god, it's an origin, not origin story, where it goes back to right after Uncle Ben has died. And it's those first few, like, months of Peter learning what it is to be Spider-Man.
Okay.
That were kind of left
okay.
out in the comics, because it went from Uncle Ben died, this is your responsibility, and all of a sudden he was swinging through the city.
I can actually see some value in that comic.
And there is value
yeah.
in the comic. And Slott's writing it.
Okay.
So, considering Slott's running the main story,
it
makes
yeah.
sense. One issue in is a 1.1, so I don't know where it's going, but it's been enjoyable. Amazing X-Men... It's in my stuck pile because Spider-Man's in it, because I'm a nerd. it was actually fun. They're trying to get Firestar a little more into the team, and they were trying to, like, babysit this kid who was, like, a demon. It was just kind of silly, but it was one of those one-shot comics that we don't get that often anymore, because everything seems to be connected to the greater good of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of, like, a fun thing. Spider-Man showed up, and it was like, I need that baby. And they're like... We don't like you anymore because Spider-Man was Otto for a long time and
yeah.
causing a bunch of trouble. And they're just like, we don't trust you. And he's like, no, seriously, I need that baby. So it was a lot of just that back and forth with him. Because if you know, Firestar and Iceman are Spider-Man's amazing friends. So,
interesting. Yeah,
I remember that. Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man, number one. Peter Parker's back. Moving on.
Awesome.
Did you catch that? Ultimate Spider-Man, number one.
Miles Morales!
Ultimate Spider-Man. Bad.
Superior Spider-Man team-up. This book is done.
Yeah.
It was just the end of Otto Octavius as Peter. Technically,
no, you were hot and cold
come
on
out with the number one next week. Amazing
no, they
Spider-Man
won't. No more Superior
no, it'll be Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm going to slap you.
I know you are.
No, you were hot and cold on that thing anyway, weren't you?
Not Superior team-up. Avenging Spider-Man started falling off towards the end. Enjoyable. I'm kind of embarrassed. It should be in my stick pile, actually. Uncanny Avengers annual. Because when I was going through my comics earlier, you can ask Johnny, I forgot what happened in the book.
Yeah.
So that proves how good it is.
He was going through
but
it.
But
like,
the reason that it's actually my stuck is the real Uncanny Avengers storyline, not the annual, has gotten really, really good. But once again, they're in the future after a bunch of people screwed things up.
Once you pick up a book that you know you've read... Within the last couple of weeks, and you can't,
like,
you're like, it's when you know it's time to cut back.
That was a month
yeah.
ago. So,
yeah.
Uncanny X-Men, there's been this mysterious masked person that's been sending Sentinels after the X-Men since the beginning of Uncanny.
That's unfortunate.
Do you remember that?
That he's finally getting brought to head. We're going to find out who he is in the next issue.
It's not Bolivar Trask.
I have no idea who
he is.
I think it's Xavier, which would just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
X-Force, Simon Spurrier. It's finally a Simon Spurrier book.
It feels like it's getting amazing reviews.
We were complaining originally that Fantamax was too French. It was addressed because Fantamax has never been super French, ever. And Simon Spurrier was writing him very French, but they ended up making jokes about the fact that he was trying to be too French, and Marrow ended up messing him up. And it's been fun. It's Simon Spurrier, and I love Simon Spurrier. There's no question about that. And finally, Brian Woods' X-Men, the Adjective List book, has gotten good.
It's Brian Woods.
It took 14 issues to get
okay.
Done.
Okay, but it's Brian Woods.
It's split between two storylines, both of which are somewhat interesting. And my last, I know, right? I read a lot. The last stuck is Iron Fist, The Living Weapon. Iron Fist is just fun because he's not like the normal like superhero. He's kung fu, and it's very much dealing with his past and how like the world has fallen apart for him. My pick of the month is Amazing Spider-Man. One, because it's back. Two, because of how well it's written. Otto Octavius screwed up everything for Peter. And at the same time made everything amazing for Peter. He opened up his own industry. So he owns Parker Industries. But their main project had to do with cyber electronics, which he knows nothing about. But guess who's really good at that? The guy with the arms. But he also had a girlfriend who he was going to propose to, who Peter doesn't know, who lives with him, and also works for his company, but figured out that he was Spider-Man and figured out that everything was crazy. So they're dealing with that thing.
So what happened to Otto Octavius?
Otto Octavius is gone. Completely wiped. It won't last.
Okay.
And then, also, Otto Octavius did something stupid when he was Spider-Man. He knocked out one of Black Cat's teeth.
Oh,
so Black Cat is currently stalking Spider-Man and pushing bad luck on him. So he tried to fight Electro in this issue, whipped open a fire hydrant, it didn't go off, and he stuck his head in it and it blasted him. Just funny stuff, good stuff. I mean, Spider-Man is back.
Very nice.
Sayonara's are two OGNs, which are original graphic novels, if you do not know the shorthand, and because they don't have anything to drop quite yet, probably in another month. X-Men No More Humans, which is a fun read. Mike Carey, Salvador LaRocca, good, deals with just kind of the storyline, dealing with the brand new Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Or the
we'll
Evil
just say
X-Men
all new,
or whatever.
It's Marvel, dude. It's all new.
And then Amazing Spider-Man Family Business, which is Mark Waid, dealing with Kingpin and Peter Parker's sister, which was revealed in Trade. Not, but maybe. It's very interesting. It's worthwhile to read if you have any interest in Peter.
I will read anything Mark Waid does.
And that is my incredibly long stick-stuck pick, Sayonara, because I read way too many books. Darren.
Well, every month I think I'm usually bringing up the rear because you guys kind of headline with the Marvel and DC. And also, I just didn't have as many books as you guys, but you know what? This month it's changed. So let me just get right to it. Sticking with Masters of the Universe. I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. I'm just such a He-Man fan, and there's so little of it that, you know, I don't know. It's not really hurting me. It's not great. The Massive, kind of falling from the stuck to the stick pile,
really?
Is always right around there in the stuck pile.
You
I don't
it.
Know. Yeah, I love it. It's still good, but I kind of feel like, you know, they've started doing the changing the artist's routine every month. And I don't know. To me, there's something to me. It's like when you watch a television show as a kid and the actor changes, but it's the same role. There's something to that. And I feel like what's happening, it's Brian Wood, and it's always been Brian Wood. But
I realize Wood wrote that.
Yeah, it's starting to, I don't know if it's getting long in the tooth or they're just trying to build up to the next big arc, but I don't know. It's not, it just doesn't have that same crispness that it did. Stuck on Batman 66. I mean, you want to talk about.
Yeah. That's a weekly, right?
No. it is, but this is the. This is just once a month. They collect the stories and put them together once a month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's just fun. And usually they're switching artists and writers in and out because everyone's kind of taking their stab at it. But they usually get it right. They you get the feel that you kind of feel like this is coming right out of the 1960 series. Stuck on Batman Zero Year. They're back at the primary storyline after, about a month or two break.
Yeah.
And, again, I think this is probably widely regarded as the rock star team right now, and with good reason.
So bad,
when it wraps up. This is a bit strange, because last month I did a retroactive review of the old Star Trek comics.
That's right.
And I had about 25 issues. So I put it in my stockpile for this month, because, again, it's just been a lot of fun to read, and it's written so well. And they brought in the Mirror Universe as a return, which is cool. Stuck on East of West, just this post-apocalyptic folktale that just kind of gets inside of you and won't let go. It's really, really haunting in a lot of ways. Man's going after looking for his son. Post-apocalyptic so there's still a lot of technology. Right there with you on the letter 44, Phil. This is issue one.
Oh, it's a reprint.
No, this is the first printing.
There's no way.
Yeah, this is the first printing.
Because that's a different cover than the one I have.
I think they probably had multiple covers, and you might have a reprint. Who knows?
No, I have the original.
sorry.
Oh, we're just to throw it down here.
This is really, really good. I've only made it up to issue four, but, I mean, the very first issue, which most of the narrative is the letter he reads from the 43rd president. Mm-hmm. Obvious parallels is that the previous president was Bush and this president is Obama.
Absolutely.
So the parallels are there are quite obvious.
You're going to get to see the aliens. So.
Yeah, I think that's what coming up. I'm at four at the moment. So very good stuff. I'm really excited to read it going forward. Got my hands, and I have issue one in my box already. Thief of Thieves by one of my favorite artists, especially from the mid-2000s. Sean Martinborough had a really interesting run on Batman. And he, along with Kirkman, he of The Walking Dead fame, have come up with a heist comic book. And I love heist movies. And this is really well told. A little bit of family drama going on in here. Family of thieves, mobsters, you name it. This is a very noirish, contemporary noirish tale, and I got all the way, I think they're up to this is a couple years old, I got all the way up to issue 12, and I think they're up to issue 22 or 24 at this point, so I've been really enjoying reading this. Stuck on the Wake, the second half of 10, The Wake, they went from the past of how the cataclysm occurs to what the cataclysm is now that it's happened, and it's a very compelling tale. Number one, Nailbiter from Image Comics. This is interesting. It's about, I forget the name of the town in here. It's something kind of strange, but it's in Oregon, in which 16 of the most infamous serial killers were born in this town. So if someone goes out and tries to investigate why that is, he discovers the reason, calls his buddy. When his buddy shows up to help him, he's disappeared. So off to a really, really great start. And I this is kind of weird and may seem antithetical, where I was kind of against violent comics. But remember, one of the things I was saying is the violence in comics with your heroes like Captain America and Superman, you kind of expect things like this, which is about serial killers. Soon to end up in my sayonara pile, because it, of course, will end, is Star Wars, the eponymous title Star Wars, which bridges the gap between episode 4 and 5, which would be Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. Bit of a silly cover, but a really good narrative in which Princess Leia decides to offer her hand in marriage to gain allegiances for the rebellion. It kind of furthers the relationship between Luke, Han. When I picked this up, we're on issue 15, and I picked this up about a year and a half ago. It was so refreshing to see Star Wars with Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia, which is what we're going to get in the Christmas of 2015. What's that?
They're going to be so old.
You know what? But if we're, I'll say this. We know that. And as long as they don't play into that so much, like when the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out.
That movie doesn't exist.
Well, let me make my point.
Thank you.
Let me make my point. We were more than happy to accept that Harrison Ford's old, but we were also more than happy to watch Indiana Jones. So they didn't need to play into it all that much, which was unfortunate. So I'm all for, General Solo flying around in the Millennium Falcon. He could do that. He could be 85 and do that.
Well, and they're using puppets.
Yeah, true. Finding Gossamer stuck on that. We've heard from Finding Gossamer since last Free Comic Book Day, which my friend Phil was hopping up supply for me. They're coming back, and I couldn't be more happy. I've been waiting a long time. Yeah, and this is a really good gap bridger for where we're wherever we're going to be, which is the next volume, is what they're calling it. So it looks like this is going to come and go for a while, but you're not going to find more unique and more well-crafted art in a comic book. It is just absolutely stunning.
It is, of course.
Stuck on Serenity. Boy, oh boy.
Really?
We may not be getting the TV series, but this is a
amazing.
Very, very good, and it's very... It fits. It's Zach Whedon who's writing it, and you just get the sense that this is... The tone is exactly straight out right after the movie Serenity, and it's been good. It's been really good. Stuck on the Star Wars. Again, this is the very one of those things like
film script.
Right, the first draft of this film script. And again, this is one of those things I love about comics. This doesn't happen anywhere else but in comics. Mm-hmm. So it is something that I am very much enjoying. And my pick of the month, I couldn't be more excited, is The Mercenary Sea. This is outstanding. This is issue 3. I already put issues 1 and 2 away. Let's go ahead and take a look at the art in this. It is pre-World War II mercenaries that have their own submarine that are kind of jetting in and out of Allied and German and Japanese territory, running guns. Not running guns, but they're trying to do jobs. It is absolutely wonderful. It is a very compelling story so far. They're on a mission to try to gain intelligence from the Japanese behind enemy lines. I took a flyer on this. It just looked interesting. It was one of those things. I saw the logo for the title. I'm kind of a logo guy. And I was like, wow, that looks cool. And I took a jump, and it is fantastic. I really, really like it. I couldn't recommend more The Mercenary Sea. And it's now – I'm really excited because I have a lot of new stuff in here. And for the longest time, I've been searching – mm-hmm. I had gotten to the point last month where I was going to say, why don't you guys just let me handle retro reviews, and that's what I'll do from now on, because I'm not sold on anything. But Thief of Thieves, The Mercenary Sea, The Letter 44, Serenity.
I told you Letter 44 was good.
Yeah, you're right. What else did I put in here? For the most part, East of West.
Check out Black
Science,
man.
Nailbiter, When Finding Gossamer Returns. I finally think now I have a nice little cadre of titles that I'm really excited. But in order for me to pick up new titles, others have to go. And one of the first ones to go is The Shadow Year One. Matt Wagner is a name we're familiar with and has been writing it, but the writing team and the artist teams for the original Shadow title and then this one was better. But it just the Shadow never took off like I was hoping it would. When I first jettisoned all my DC stuff, I started reaching for those pulp heroes like The Phantom, The Rocketeer, Zorro, The Masks title, and The Shadow. And The Phantom was fantastic. Unfortunately, it never finished its run. And none of these really took off. And it was just, you know, so-so storytelling was the real thing. They never really gave you much of the Shadow. They're giving you his sidekick. Sayonara to the Shadow. Battlestar Galactica. The original Battlestar Galactica was a nice little side story, but nothing really there to keep me interested. DC Universe versus Master of the Universe. Thank God it's over. What a missed opportunity. You know, I got
to
tell you.
I could
I'm
tell it was
almost
going to be by the first issue.
The first issue
was mediocre at best.
I can't actually remember if Superman and Batman, or He-Man and Superman did anything.
They didn't.
And this was, it went 6 issues. Sayonara to Skyward, very derivative tale. I appreciate it for its effort, but these titles here in place of The Mercenary Sea, Nailbiter, Thief of Thieves, The Letter 44, I'm not sad to lose it. Samurai Jack, Sayonara to Samurai Jack. I actually made it all the way to issue 7. Here's the thing. It's exactly like the television show, but if you remember about the television show, very atmospheric, letting the visuals do a lot of the setup, which is what they do here. It's literally a 2-minute and 30-second read for almost $4.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, look at it. There's almost no dialogue in this book. All right? You can see from here. I love the Samurai Jack, but just, you know, I was like, okay, you know, there's nothing going on here, so sayonara to Samurai Jack. Can't recommend The Mercenary Sea enough.
Wow. All right, so that wraps it up for us. Do we have anything to plug? Anybody?
Well, super nerdy thing that I'm doing now that it's summer.
break, me and a group of my friends are going to start playing D&D again. So,
oh, really?
Oh, my God.
I've never played.
It'll be fun. There is a slight potential that a podcast may spew off of that. So keep your ears open.
Oh, sure.
Excellent. Darren, anything?
No, but I want to take you guys up on a idea that Phil had, and that is when they – it's supposed to be sometime this summer when the DVD Blu-ray release of the 1966 Batman series comes out. I think Phil had the idea is that we should get together and binge watch like 6 or 7 of those episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And then we should do we should start it like, okay, we start a podcast with it, watch like, you know, a couple of the episodes, go back and like talk about it. I've been YouTubing them back and forth. I think both of you, if you haven't seen them in a while, you're going to be surprised how much you enjoy watching them.
Oh, sure.
I mean.
So whenever that comes out this summer, we should totally
do
that.
Make it like a special podcast where we talk about it?
Yeah, come out like earlier. Like
it's an annual special
Sunday
release.
Or something like that.
Hey, it's summer break. I'm
almost
good.
There too.
Yeah.
Johnny?
I'm in.
Plugs.
I have nothing to plug.
No?
I have nothing to plug. No,
man.
My class didn't work out.
Aww.
What happened to it?
Nobody showed up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
People aren't interested in comic books. And it's okay. It's okay. It's on to the next thing, which is...
You reading Six Gun Girl?
I don't know what's going on next. But we will be back next month with more comic book news, because people do invest in comic books and people do believe this is the age of the geek. And that's all I got to say.